No Title by Sesmain, read by Viluta. Once, in times long past, there was the land of Nyx. As with all great lands, Nyx was ruled by its king and queen, held in trust for their two children. Their daughter Margaret, the eldest, would someday rule. Her younger brother Louis would be her confidant and advisor, and together they would maintain their great land. Prince Louis was a scholar, and something of a layabout, and perhaps leaning towards areas of gluttony at times, and he hated the life that had been planned for him. But he loved to ride his father's horses far and wide, off into the fields, where his sister and mother and father could not find him, and he would lay in the long grass and flowers and read. And even when he brought the horses back long past nightfall, long past when others had gone to bed, the horse master's assistant was always waiting for him. Tall and lean, Winters seemed to suit his name. His skin and eyes were both pale, and he was quiet, like a heavy snowfall. Louis would hand over the reins and offer a brief smile before rushing out. And if he wanted to stop and speak longer to the man, if he wanted to discuss the books of his that he saw Winters eyeing, well, it was not at all appropriate to be doing so. And time passed for the young Louis, until his lands went to war with their neighbor. Louis feared for the people of Nyx, for himself, and for how this would change him. He did not spare Winters even a glance as he went for his horse, too absorbed in how he should proceed. Prince Louis. Louis blinked several times in surprise, then turned to face Winters. The man stood by one of the stalls, stripped down to just his undershirt and leggings, and Louis could not deny the attraction he felt for him. "I wanted to make sure you knew before I left," Winters continued. "Left?" Louis frowned at the thought. "They didn't fire you, did they? I know I'm not supposed to be out that late, but it's the only..." He trailed off at the raised eyebrows, the faint smile on Winters' lips. "That's not what you were talking about." "The war," Winters clarified. "I've joined your army." "But..." Louis looked down at his book, stunned. Winters was not his friend, but he was, perhaps, the closest thing to it. "I wish I could go with you," he blurted out, and turned to leave, only to be stopped by a hand on his arm. "I know you hate it here," Winters said softly, and Louis could feel the heat of him on his back. "But I do not. We must protect our home our separate ways." "I can get you into the cavalry, at least," Louis said, "if you want." Winters stepped away, and Louis missed the closeness of him. "It's better pay, more training." "Thank you," Winters accepted. And for many years the war raged and the land was ravaged. The first letter from Winters was a surprise, and he wondered how the stable boy had acquired enough gall to write a prince. By the fifth letter he was writing back. And through the letters, Louis came to know the people that were also ravaged. When the letters stopped, Louis sent out messengers to find Winters, offered rewards, searched far and wide, but to no avail. Although no report conclusively stated it to be so, it seemed that his only friend had died. The end of the war came, and time passed again, but Louis did not notice. He drank his days away, and he wandered the castle halls, lost and alone, until his parents arranged his marriage. The day came, and Louis found himself in his chambers, alone for the first time in days. The pain of his enforced sobriety was hitting hard, and his eyes hurt, and just one drink, he thought, there had to be something here, somewhere. A knock on his door, and he expected it to be his father, perhaps finally come to say something personal to him. Instead, it was a man with curly blonde hair and a gap in his teeth. "Prince Louis," he greeted with a smile, and a handshake that Louis seemed to have no say in. "I'm Harry Welch. I serve with Dick. He asked me to come and see you, if I ever had the chance. Dick? Lewis repeated, frowning. Look, do you have a drink on you? He caught sight of himself in the mirror and cursed under his breath. They won't let me drink. If I'm too far gone, they'll have to postpone the wedding. Harry glanced around, then grinned, and Lewis couldn't quite place the tone of it. But the smile wasn't entirely what he would have called honest. I think I have a flask or two, he said, reaching into his coat. Dick asked me to bring you this. Lewis reached out and took the silver flask, his own face sad. How did he die? Harry just grinned and raised another flask. To all the men who fell, he toasted. And so the wedding was postponed. And the next day, Lewis was visited by Spears, and the day after that by Lipton, and one every day, and each day the wedding was postponed, until all visitors were banned, and the prince was confined under guard. And he mourned winters, and he thought deeply about the stories of the men who had served with him, and he wondered how he had let himself come to this, marrying some blameless princes, when it was the stable boy he wanted. He kept his head down when the guards came for him, escorting him from his room and down the halls. Wait, he finally spoke up, lifting his head to look around. This isn't the way to my carriage. And then he found himself staring into the faces of Bull and Buck, and he frowned. What's going on? Dick told us that if you ever married, and he couldn't make it, we had to stop it until he could, Bull answered. But he's dead, and this is the way to the stables, Lewis said, but didn't stop walking with them. He's clever, Buck said. I can see why Dick fell for him. Why, he what? What's going on? But they did not answer, and Lewis followed them to the stables to find Winters there, leaning against a wall, two horses ready and tethered. He looked tired and worn, but hale, and Lewis felt his head swim with relief at the sight of him. You're alive, he said, once Bull had eased him to sit. The letters, and no one could find you. What happened? I heard about your efforts to find me, Winter said. Thank you. I heard you're getting married. Supposed to be, Lewis said with a shrug. Should have been married months ago, but your friends kept showing up. Want to be my witness? Winters just smiled and shook his head. He picked up a bag and tossed it at Lewis, who opened it to find plain clothes within. Still want to come with me, my prince? Winters asked, gesturing to the horses. Lewis met Winter's eyes, a smile spreading across his face in a way he hadn't felt for years. Absolutely, he accepted. The end.